Listening to Birth of a New Earth. My name is Janice Barcello. I'm the host for this show here at Republic Broadcasting Network. We are in need of donations, folks. Please help us stay online. Help us keep the information flowing. Do donate whatever you can. No donation is too small or too large. Every bit helps, and we hope you all will do your part to keep this going. I just want to rant for 2 minutes before I bring on my guests that I had to make a stop this morning at the grocery store, and the checkout lady, first she offered me this toxic Purell, so that I could allegedly cleanse my hands with this poison. And then she explained how she's been sick for the last couple of days. And she doesn't know why, because she received all of her shots. So immediately I get very concerned because I don't want her touching my stuff, since the hydrogel is shedding. And now it's shedding probably onto the bags that they touch and everything else that they touch, including our food. And I'm in a place right now, and I think we all need to be very concerned, even about hugging somebody that has received this toxic jab or allowing them to touch our skin. This is what it's come down to, folks. We are in the most incredible time on the earth, with so many people having fallen for this ridiculous fraud of a pandemic. So I just needed to rant about that because I'm so stressed out about people touching me. I've never, ever been like this in my entire life because I'm a very affectionate person, and I find this very disturbing. Okay, so just needed to share that. I wanted to introduce my guests, one of whom you may know, Patricia Aiken. She is a host here at RBN, and she's here today with Bill May. And these two people are very knowledgeable about legal procedures and fraudulent law. So I wanted to bring this information to my listeners. Patricia and Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having us, Janice.
Yeah, I don't hear Bill.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're way, way quiet, Bill. Can you come closer to the mic?
No, I am close to the mic.
All right, okay. What do you want to say, Patricia?
Oh, I just want to say, yeah, he sounds quiet to me, too.
Yeah, seems very, very far away. Sam, I'm not sure what that might be about, if we could bring Bill closer. Because, Bill, I wanted to ask you, and whoever wants to answer, how did you two get to know each other?
I'll let Patricia explain that.
Okay. We're on a mailing list, an email list that people are on, and sometimes articles would come out and I'd make a comment and Bill would send me some really interesting information about the law, the real law. And so, and I would copy and paste it and save it. And I said, this needs to get out. And then he asked me if somebody knew a certain person that was going through some legal situations. And I said, I did. And we got in contact with someone and with this person's brother, and we're able to help a man in Idaho. And so then Bill wanted to set up his Law Truth group, and so we've been working on that. And so I took the jurisdictionary course because I've been in several lawsuits as a plaintiff, and I wanted to know that. But so I had a little bit of court experience, but Bill's information is just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and they don't want you to know.
Yeah. Before I bring Bill in to talk about the information that he's figured out, I wanted to share a little bit that I recently got a traffic ticket. Because I'm so sensitive to the wireless, I tend to drive around very, very fast to try to get to places quickly so I can get back to my house and crawl into my canopy and recover from the assault that I'm under every time I leave the house. So I did get a ticket for passing two cars in the turn lane. You know, it was a two-way street, and there was a turn lane in the middle, and I pulled into the middle. I passed these two cars, and a cop pulled me over. And apparently this ticket he charged me with reckless driving, which is criminal. It's a criminal offense, not just, you know, a traffic citation. Now, I asked these people if they could give me an accommodation, because sitting in a courtroom filled with Wi-Fi and cell phones and smart meters and cordless printers and all this stuff for several hours is not conducive to my well-being. So they refused to give me an accommodation, and Bill and Patricia stepped in to try to help me. I won't go into the details beyond that. To say that these people are criminals is an understatement. And Bill, I wonder if you could share a little bit about what you've discovered about this court system.
We don't have people are unaware that in this country, as per the constitutions in this, the 14th Amendment created a second legal system in the states. It was not for whites, but it was for first the Negro, but Congress has expanded it to apply to all non-whites. And the problem with this legal system is it doesn't recognize any rights to speak of. And what they have done is they have unconstitutionally imposed that legal system on everybody, which is why when you go into court and you try to claim a right, the judge just ignores you because they're pretending that you're a citizen by way of the 14th Amendment. And the judge knows that those people have almost no rights.
Let me try to explain what I understand from reading, because I became part of your law group now, and I'll ask Patricia to elaborate on her understanding also. But I understand that the 14th Amendment created a set of citizens who were previously slaves. Okay, this was for the Negroes. Is that right? This was for the black people in the United States, and it also applies to alien residents in the United States, but not to whites who are born in this country in a certain state. Is that right, Bill?
That is my research. Is the 14th Amendment applies to everybody but the citizens of the states, and people have been kept ignorant of the fact that only white people can be true citizens of the states. A citizen of a state by way of the 14th Amendment has almost no rights. That's where our gun laws, for instance, if you research the gun laws, they arise under the power of the government on the state and federal level to regulate citizens by way of the 14th Amendment. When you look at them, they cannot be imposed constitutionally upon those people that are only citizens of the states. And the Supreme Court and other courts have stated clearly, you do not have to be a citizen of the federal government in order to be a citizen of your state. Now, as for the gun laws, no state constitution grants a state the authority to impose any gun laws on the citizens of their citizens. the Congress, in making federal law, its laws apply to the 14th Amendment citizens and aliens wherever they are, whether they're in a state or not, because those people that are only citizens of the state, they get no protection from the constitution of the state they're in. Their citizenship arises under a completely different system of law, which is the system of law that the federal government, commonly known as the United States, or legally known as the United States. They have almost no rights. They have no gun rights, and the Supreme Court has said this. So when you research the laws, all the gun laws, they all apply to aliens and citizens of the federal government wherever they are. They do not constitutionally apply to those people who are only citizens of their state. But around 70 years ago, they changed out the court system. Those people that are only citizens of the state constitutions only allow them to be prosecuted in a judicial branch court, where the people of the state are represented as the plaintiffs as a whole by a public prosecutor. Those courts were closed, and they started prosecuting everybody in legislatively created courts, which do have authority due to the nature of federal citizenship. They've got full authority over federal citizens and aliens. But what they did is they changed the courts. They didn't say anything when the people come into the courts. So when the white people would come in, they didn't go, well, by the way, since you're white, there's only a 1 in a million chance that you're a citizen of the federal government. So you might want to research that. Now, under the rules of due process, they're supposed to tell you this, because the rules are, and the law is, that the DA has information that can help you in your case. They're required to turn it over. So all prosecutions against those people that are only citizens of the state, whether it's in a state level or federal level, they're all legally void for vagueness, because the DA withholds discovery information, exculpatory evidence.
Well, Bill, those, you know, there have been arguments that have been made, if I can jump in, Janice, and people have made these arguments, but they haven't made them properly. They've said, I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. I'm not a citizen of the United States. Why haven't those arguments worked, Bill?
I read a case quite a number of years ago from the Ninth Circuit. It was a tax case where this guy had been convicted in federal court of income tax evasion or tax fraud. And he got in there and he stated that he was a sovereign, he was a de jure citizen. He listed all these things that he was. And in the end, the Ninth Circuit simply stated, they listed everything that he said. They quoted him on it. And then they stated, he failed to deny being a citizen of the United States. Therefore, since he did not bring it up, we cannot address it. So therefore, we must affirm the conviction. So the court was saying two things. It's not what you claim to be. You have to know what the government is claiming, and you have to deny it. And in order to be liable for the income tax, you have to be a citizen of the federal government, which makes sense, because the federal government can only make a half a dozen laws that apply to those people that are only citizens of their states. So the income tax laws, by their own rules, they state that if you are a citizen of the United States, you are required to file. If you're a non-resident alien of the United States, you're not required to file. So a person who is only a citizen of their state, who lives in a state, is not in the United States, which is a federal area, or includes all federal areas. So they're non-resident in a federal area, and since they're not citizens of the federal government, they're an alien of the federal government. They're very clever in their wording so that people read it and they don't get the meaning. but it's right in their own rules. If you go online and download them, this is what it tells you.
Well, what does it mean to say that you're not a citizen of the United States? I mean, that has major ramifications. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not something I feel totally comfortable walking into a court and saying, I'm not a citizen of the United States, because I collect, you know, Social Security benefits and a variety of other things that involve me with the government of the United States of America. Not, and when you say only a citizen of a state, then you are excluding citizenship of the United States, the country. So what does that mean for people?
Well, we don't have a country. This is not a country. This is a union of individual independent states, each with their own government. The United States is the name of the government of the, it is the name of the federal government. Okay. So it, the United States, and whenever you use that term, when it comes to citizenship, are a place. This, the federal statutes make it clear that that the term United States does not include any of the several states. And when they talk about states of the United States in the federal code, because I've got it on my computer, it states that it includes Guam, Puerto Rico, etc. It does not include any of the several states. So they use word games to trick people out of their right, or to trick those people who are only citizens of the states out of their right.
But you haven't answered my question, and this is a very important question.
So I think I can clarify your question, Janice. That would help. Bill, let's talk about adhesion contracts for a minute. Your driver's license, your Social Security card. Let's talk about those.
How are you going to travel if you're not, you know, if you don't have a passport that says
you're... Well, you don't need a passport to travel, Janice, and I can share the documents with you on that. I can share that with you. But go ahead, Bill. Tell her about adhesion contracts.
I don't believe in adhesion contracts. They're not constitutional. The very theory of them goes against constitutional principle. And I've come across this before and discussed it with people. The theory is that if you take a privilege from the state, for instance, then that makes you a citizen of the federal government and subject to all of its rules and regulations. The vehicle code in all the states, if you're not engaged in commerce on the highways, it does not apply to private travel. It only applies to taxis, stuff like that, people who are making their living on the public rights of ways. Okay. So if you want to go down and get a driver's license and, but you don't use it to engage in commerce on the highway, because it's not necessary, simply getting that driver's license does not suspend your rights. The government, one of the things that people overlook is government, the government of the states, who then also created the United States government, those were created to protect, to secure and defend the rights of the citizens of the states. Okay. The court has stated that I'll just read it to you right here. I've got it handy. Let me see here. Powers government. Okay, I'm going to read you this. The government of the United States, therefore, can claim no powers which are not granted to it by the Constitution, and the powers actually granted must be such as are expressly given by necessary implications. The government is not delegated the power to use deception or coercion to strip people of their rights.
Bill, we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up after the break. We'll be right back, folks.
We welcome this new day on planet Earth. It's the birth of a new way. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. So Bill, I hear what you're saying, you know, and I totally trust that you're correct. But I'm going to ask this question of Patricia now. What are the ramifications of claiming that you are not a U.S. citizen? What happens to people that do this? Because I'll be honest, there's somebody else in your group, Bill, in your law group, that wrote to me and said, don't even consider expatriating. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into if you do something like that. All kinds of warning bells and red lights flashing about what happens when you do something like this. So I wonder, Patricia, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, you know, a lot of people charge folks a lot of money to what you called expatriate them, you know, to rescind their Social Security card, not have a driver's license, and that makes banking almost impossible and things like that. But I think Bill's solution is much simpler, simply to deny when you need to that you're a U.S. citizen. Deny that you're a citizen via the 14th Amendment and that you're a state-born only citizen. I don't see you have to jump through the rest of the hoops. I think it's very simple. And lots of people have part of the program, but they've messed up, and I don't think some of their solutions work. And I think that's why the person is saying those things.
Okay, I don't know what that clicking is, but this is the second week in a row that there's noise in the background that interferes with people's ability to hear what the guest is saying. Thank you for stopping, whoever was doing it. Okay, so I am concerned about it because I don't understand what the ramifications are of claiming that you're not a U.S. citizen and that you're not a 14th Amendment citizen. But I get that there are two categories of citizens in this country, and that's something for people to really know and consider. And if they're willing to do this, you know, if they have a legal case and maybe their backs are up against the wall and they want to try to claim that they're not U.S. citizens and that these courts, therefore, have no jurisdiction over them, that's something to consider. Bill, have you experienced people doing this? And I know somebody that claimed that they were a state citizen recently, a young man, was murdered by the police, shot dead.
It's not what you claim, it's what you deny. And I know the situation that you're talking about. I saw the video. What it comes down to is when you go to court, if they cite you into court for something, you don't claim to be anything. You deny being a citizen of the United States. Like I stated with that Ninth Circuit case, they made it clear it is not what you claim, it's what you deny that matters. So I would like to get away from the idea of claiming anything. It's all about what you deny. The reason it has merit is that the courts are not judicial branch courts. The state constitution only allows those people that are citizens of their state to be prosecuted in a judicial branch court. If you go into these courts and you don't know to deny being a citizen of the United States, they just pretend, they look at you and they ignore the facts and they withhold the evidence that you're not. And they just go ahead and process you as a citizen of the federal government, because constitutionally they can only see federal governments and aliens, and they pretend that the cop or the DA that ordered you to appear knows what they're doing and they cited you into the right court. And if you don't know to deny it, even though the judgment is constitutionally void, nobody challenges it because they don't know what the government's claiming. So
my question is still not being answered.
What, Janice, I think I can help you with this. That young man that you talked about that was shot by the police, first of all, even Justice Roberts, Supreme Court Justice Roberts said, do not have court on the side of the road.
Yes.
When you argue with a cop, you're having, just take the damn ticket. You can write no contract, all rights reserved, do whatever you want to write with that, but just take the ticket and go on your way. I mean, arguing with a cop on the side of the road is a very foolish thing to do.
Well, I agree. It's not a good idea at all to get into a power struggle with a police officer, because they are police officers because they're on a power trip. You see, so that's not a good plan. I get that. Not a good idea. My question is, have people done this in terms of denying that they're U.S. citizens? And we have a caller that I'd like to take. And if they have denied that they're U.S. citizens, what is the implication of that?
We don't know what the government will do, because this is a process that has just been perfected and understood recently. So we don't know what will happen. But for people who do have their backs up against the wall and they are looking at prison, or take, for instance,
there's another break right now. I really want you to finish your thought after the break, and then I want to take the caller. Danny, if you'll hold on, we'll take you after the break, okay? Thank you. We'll be right back, folks.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Did Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
Cool it with anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's jump right back into it. Bill, you were saying, they were talking about, you know, when people have their backs up against the wall, if they want to try this, we don't know what's going to happen, is what you're saying, right?
Well, we don't know if they will end up losing their Social Security or not. What it does do when they use this process, if they're white, it puts the court in a position where it cannot legally proceed against them. And if the court does legally proceed against them, or does illegally proceed against them, if you know how to follow up, it has the ability to cost the judge their job and set them up for civil damages. That's what this process does. People have been made totally ignorant of the fact that white people, the constitutions were written by and for white people, and it's not that I have a general dislike of others. I'm only looking at the constitutional issue, that the constitutions and the courts have stated that whites have rights that nobody else has. Nobody else, the 14th Amendment, nor no amendment since then, has given non-whites anywhere near the same rights as white people. They're under the system of law of the federal government, and that system of law is a government of just slightly limited communism, and it's stated right in the federal constitution, and the courts have stated it also.
Okay. All right. We've got a caller, Danny from Tennessee. What would you like to ask or say?
Well, yeah, I've been looking into this kind of thing for a little while now here in Tennessee, and, I think doesn't realize is that you can't apply outside reality to what's written into the state codes and things of that type, because the peculiar definitions they give to words, making them into a specific technical terminology meant for someone of a particular occupation or something like that, in this case being the lawyers and such. But in Tennessee, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be this way with the rest of the states, except maybe Texas, if the meaning of state, the state, when applied to the different parts of the United States, includes the District of Columbia and the several territories of the United States. Well, you go through some other definitions and put it all together, state reduces down to state means District of Columbia and the several territories of the United States. That's the state is talking about. That's also the state for the 14th Amendment, where it refers to being a citizen of the state in which they reside. Because the way it's set up, they have you say that you're a resident of this state. They don't say a resident of Tennessee, they say a resident of this state, and state's been defined to be the federal areas. And so you first say that you are a citizen of the United States, and then you turn around and say that you are a citizen or a resident of the United States by calling it this state. And it's this trickery of definition of words and the way language is put together that's fooling people. And the way I've come to look at this is like when you're looking at the state codes and things, it's like the rules of a game, a board game or a video game. And what the meaning of words are outside in reality have nothing to do with this. It's what it ends up showing within the confines of, you know, those records there. And, yeah, people have done similar things. I didn't catch the beginning of the show, so I don't quite know the whole process that he's talking about. But the other term that connects you to the United States without being a citizen is a national of the United States. And that's basically a citizen of the states, the several states, the original states, and not this state that means the federal government. And Secretary of State, United States Secretary of State, is pretty much the one that holds the records relating to citizenship. And so what I have done in the simplest affidavit to put in as citizenship evidence is that it's my intention to be a national of the United States, but not a citizen of the United States. So that's what they have to work with. Otherwise, there's just this presumption that you're going to be a citizen of the United States until you deny it.
And all right, thank you. Thank you very much for that informative input. I know that, and I, Jim, I see you there also. I know that, Bill, you've been making a big distinction between the state of California, for example, all caps, and the no caps state of California. These are two different entities, because with all caps, we're talking about a corporation, and it's the corporations that are now claiming that they have jurisdiction over us. That's what these courts represent, are corporations. And just as they can use their spell casting and their word magic to make a corporation a person, they've cast a number of other spells and used their black magic to get us to appear, make appearances in their corporate courts. All of it is just total, you know, it's total smoke and mirrors, folks, and it's very hard to pull it all apart and see what's really going on, but it's important we give it the best shot. And Patricia, I definitely want to give you a chance to talk, but let me ask Jim what his comment and question is, and then we're going to go to Patricia. Jim, what do you want to say?
Well, the first thing I would say is this, is that they're not claiming to have jurisdiction. They presume it. It's all presumed, so it's all based on rebuttable presumptions. This kind of show should be done again and again and again, and you could have somebody, I know a couple people could be on, I myself could be on and fill an entire hour with this because I've lived it. I haven't filed a return in over 40 years, never had an issue. This idea about, well, claiming to be a U.S. citizen, where, what documents are they asking you to do this on? And really, we have to have clarity and simplicity. So most people, their interaction with the government is tickets and taxes. That's pretty much it, tickets and taxes. And I tell you right now that it's not that hard to do either one of those things. In fact, you can do it within the system. Now, for example, I have a driver's license, and I use my driver's license all the time. I've had delivery jobs and other such things where you need one. But when I'm traveling in my personal or private capacity, I don't need one. The fact of the matter is I rarely get pulled over anymore. But on the driver's license application, when they asked me if I was a U.S. citizen, I said no. Okay, they're asking you to claim a status, okay? And the previous caller is exactly correct. State is the District of Columbia. When they're asking you if you're a U.S. citizen, the same as a U.S. person, you're basically claiming to be a corporate fiction entity subject to the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C. or the federal government. Now, quickly to tickets, and again, this could be a much longer rant. I'm going to try to curb it down here. All states and their vehicle codes are subject to the Department of Transportation. This is the arrangement that has been made. And anybody who knows anything already knows that unless you are carrying passengers or cargo for a fair rate or fee, you do not need a license and do not need to register or insure your, quote, car or truck, not vehicle. So, again, when I filled out paperwork for W-4, W-2, or my application for driver's license, if I put anything, I just cross it out. I just cross out U.S. citizen, and if I do anything, I'll put American citizen. It doesn't really mean anything, and the fact of the matter is all my previous applications, I've done it probably 3-4 times when I renewed and so forth. It's never been an issue. They mail me my driver's license. I'm on my way. A few tickets that I get, I'm able to beat pretty easily. In the last case, I just ask a simple question to the judge. I said, is what the officer did legal? And they didn't want to answer. And the reason they don't want to answer is they can't say yes, because in this state, California, and I'm certain I could find it in other vehicle codes if I looked, the procedures on arrest, and that's what a traffic ticket is, you are arrested, okay, the officer almost never conforms to those procedures. And, of course, they can't say no. If I ask the judge, is what the officer did legal, and he says no, well, you know, they can't say that. And, of course, if he ever did say yes, and I've never encountered that, I have two or three other questions that would just sink their ship immediately. So, again, there's a lot to what I just said, but anyway.
Jim, I would be interested if you would email me at JaniceBarcello@yahoo.com to actually talk with you about your experience and maybe bring you on the air. So please email me so I can keep in contact with you, and thank you. Patricia, please share.
Excellent call, Jim. And please run over and join LawTruth@groups.eo. We'd love to have there sharing your experiences as well. Well, the one thing I wanted to bring up that both these folks have mentioned is you're calling it the spelling, as we know. But here, right on the U.S. Department of State's website, it's section 101A21. Of the Immigration and Nationality Act says the term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state. And it's funny because when a state enters the federal jurisdiction, they start referring to it as a territory again. It's the strangest, you know, rigmarole that you can imagine. So
go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In the cases I have read, the term U.S. national or state national is not a term recognized by the court system. You either are a citizen of the United States.
You're onto the right thing, Bill, by denying that you're a 14th Amendment citizen of the United States. And I think that you're on the right track. You have the case law to back that up. Now, we're not saying that the courts aren't corrupt. It's really going to be interesting to see how all these things can shake out. but I think it's an important tack to take. And apparently Jim has had, in California, has had good luck with these arguments or similar.
That's what I'm after. I want to know people's experience. I don't want to be a guinea pig, because I'm going to tell my, I see you, Melissa. We'll get to you in just a minute. I'm going to tell you that these people issued a warrant for my arrest when I didn't come to court without ever offering me accommodation, despite two letters to them to explain why I can't be there. They went ahead and issued a warrant. All right, that warrant has been lifted thanks to my communication with the county clerk, who saw the problem with what they did. All right, but if I go into court, first of all, there's protection under the 14th Amendment with the Americans with Disabilities Act that says you should have accommodation. Whenever you walk into a public building, they should accommodate you if you're disabled in any way. So I would have to give that up. I'd have to give up my ability to sue them. And actually, they're committing treason if they contribute to an arrest, because there's no legitimacy to the warrant. They've broken all kinds of laws. So there's a lot of questions. And then, you know, when you say, Bill, when you said to me, if you go to court, you know, and you claim that you're not a citizen, you deny that you're a citizen of the United States, and the Supreme Court of a state just simply dismisses your motion, then you take it to the Supreme Court of the United States. Well, what are we doing here if we're going to end up at the Supreme Court of the United States? There's a contradiction in all of this. And I don't see how we can clarify. And Melissa, I promise I'm going to take you, but I want to let Bill respond to this issue. If ultimately we're going to be heading for the Supreme Court, because the lower courts are not going to deal with this, then we're ending up in the federal lap anyway.
But you're ending up there under a different jurisdiction from a federal citizen. Once you have, the law is that once you deny, we haven't had to do this yet, but the law is once you deny being a citizen of the United States, you've denied being subject to that jurisdiction. The court cannot legally proceed until the plaintiff, which is the corporate government, comes forward and proves you wrong. If they do, by their own rules, the judge can not only be removed from his job position, you can sue him personally. And this is their own rules. Now, as for getting the driver's license, one gentleman was talking about, you don't need a driver's license if you're not engaged in commerce. Okay, let's go back to what the courts have said about citizens of the federal government. They have almost no rights. You go to Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, and the government says the government can make any rule they want to as long as they can prove that it is needful and not merely oppressive. Okay, this is built right into the Constitution, where you have no right to use the highways for private travel in a vehicle, which citizens by way of the federal government don't. They can force them to get a driver's license. So if you are a federal citizen, you cannot use this. And people need to understand that so they don't go out and get in trouble. And the other thing is, like Patricia stated, you don't have court on the side of the highway. You know the process. You go into court. You file a demur. You file a jurisdictional challenge and put the court in a position where they can't answer. And if they don't answer or prove jurisdiction, they have to dismiss. I won't say what state it was in, but we had a guy that was looking at prison, many years in prison, for simply defending him and his wife on his own property. And we filed this paperwork, and within a couple of weeks, the DA decided that they were going to give him a plea deal where he was going to be it was going to be set up to where he would get off with time served. And he goes, no, you don't have jurisdiction. I don't want to do it. And the DA goes, you don't have a choice. We're doing it anyway. So they just threw him out of jail. And he was looking at prison.
Okay. Let's take a caller. Melissa from Maryland, what would you like to ask or say?
Hi there. Okay, you're always worth listening to. Good afternoon. Happy Easter if you observe it. I just wanted to make comments about traffic tickets. I try, if it's not going to make the situation any worse for me, when I am stopped, I do ask the officer for what reason they're issuing tickets. I try to get a reason out of them. When I'm before a judge, I always ask if I can give the, I'm always denied, but I ask anyway just to get the judge on the record and just to get the question into the loaded courtroom. I always ask the judge if I can give the proceeds of the ticket to charity, and they always say no, but I ask it anyway. And then, of course, I have to go tell the charity that they were deprived of a donation because of what happened. But also what I do to follow up on a traffic ticket is I, after everything disappears, I call the non-emergency police number, and I ask to speak with the officer. And they always demand a reason that the officer is to be sent out. And I said, well, I wanted to tell Officer so-and-so that the traffic ticket that they issued wasn't necessary. And they usually will not dispatch the officer to come and visit with me for that reason. But there's nothing wrong with communicating to the officer that the traffic ticket wasn't necessary. There's nothing wrong with giving that kind of feedback. If I could make an unrelated comment also.
Make it brief, please, because we're running low on time.
That's fine. It'll take 30 seconds. I just wanted to say, as everybody can tell, that I'm a female. I am a female, and I don't always feel like being a female, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be transgendered. And with that, have a decent day and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Would somebody just wanted to say something? All right. I'm not sure what the transgender thing had to do with this conversation, but coming back to the idea of going into court, because I think this is what I'm ultimately, you know, faced with at this point, and going in with radiation shielding from head to toe, is that a mistake to even go into the court?
I would
go into
court.
Does the court give them jurisdiction?
No. Where there is no jurisdiction, it cannot be assumed. There's nothing that you can do to give them jurisdiction where it does not exist naturally. Now,
okay,
if you keep silent, they pretend that you've given them jurisdiction. But for me, it's like file the paperwork, don't argue with anybody, be very polite, and just file the paperwork where... in this case, you start with a demur, which also operates as a jurisdictional challenge. And by their own rules, if the plaintiff, which is the state by way of a DA, does not respond and prove that you are a federal citizen, the court cannot legally proceed. And if they do, and we've got a case that I'm working on now where the judge just had her little script that she went by, and she goes, I'm not interested in that. And where you stated that you're not a citizen of the United States, well, I consider you to be a citizen of the United States, and that's all that matters. And in this case also, she went to the point to where we did a jurisdictional challenge. She goes, that's denied. That's a felony. She cannot deny a jurisdictional challenge. She just followed her script all the way through and found the person guilty. And so now we've got paperwork to prove it. So now it's going to be filed in the state Supreme Court and letting them know that when she went ahead and proceeded, it was, by their own rules, a Class C felony. Oh, she also did work on behalf of the state where jurisdiction was challenged, and she went and looked up these statutes, and she goes, I claim these statutes give me jurisdiction. Okay, that's acting as a prosecutor, and judges are not allowed to take on the role of prosecutor. So that alone stripped her of jurisdiction. People do not realize how often their rights are violated because some of these judges are so blatant But once you do realize it, it's like, okay, that's fine. They did what they did. Here are the rules that the higher courts have said that you follow. And now, so we're going after her on that basis.
This brings up another question that came up in my interactions with you and Patricia, Bill, is that in a case like what you just said, okay, why not just file a lawsuit against the DA's office and the judge?
Well, this wasn't a DA. This was a municipal judge where there's normally no record. They can get away with doing whatever they want, except since we knew that was the case, we knew they'd probably be corrupt. We did everything in writing. And then she actually came back in writing and said, I'm denying your jurisdictional challenge. The law is very clear. You cannot do that. There is
so
no provision.
Is there a question of when you file a lawsuit that makes you a 14th Amendment citizen?
No. To file a suit against a judge, you've got to first prove that they acted without authority. But in this case, in order to sue the judge, we've got to get the void judgment overturned. Once the void judgment is overturned, then she is subject to civil damages. That's the way the rules work. I've read a lot of cases on it. The DAs are pretty much exempt from lawsuit of any type. The only exception I can find is where the DA knew they had no jurisdiction and they prosecuted you anyway. And I have not gotten into that because the process was created with the idea in mind of simply making people who are being unconstitutionally prosecuted, making the cases against them go away.
I don't know. It's really strange because it seems to me that they are, in the case with me, okay, where they just issued a warrant, that there is criminality involved in what the DA is doing, and they should be subject to a lawsuit.
Well, I think, Janice, even the state laws mirror the ADA laws. That might be a better question for Bill. Is she protected under the state laws? But the state law are still the corporation, the laws of the corporation.
Well, you know, with the notice of liability process that was created by Cal Washington, you can hold these people liable. And we should be doing this. That process gets them to back down because they're being held not just in their role as a judge or a DA or whatever, but as individuals. This affects their assets, their personal assets when you work with an NOL. All this other stuff seems to me like we're doing a dance that's really not taking us anywhere.
Well, what I heard Bill say is that they waive their judicial immunity by being when they're unlawful, and then they can't be sued in their person.
Yeah, when they act outside of their official capacity,
the music's in the background, and that's the end of the show. Hopefully, I can bring you back again. Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Patricia, for your time today. Thank you to the great callers, and thank you, Sam, for organizing all of this. Much appreciated. Thanks, everybody. Take good care.
Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.